So we last Rosh Hashanah, we started the Jewish year 5775. And I have a question for you that I want you to think about. How is God calling you to change this year, right? It's kind of our new year. Biblically, Rosh Hashanah is not a new year. But we often think of it as the new year. The rabbis did their math and they decided that this was the Rosh Hashanah is the day that mankind was created. So we call it the new year. Whether it's really a new year or not a new year, it's a good time to stop and reflect on our lives here during Sukkot, coming out of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, now into Sukkot, and to think about what does God want us to change? And you might be saying, well, I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions. And that's fine, right? I agree kind of with that, depending on how we do it, right? So you make a New Year's resolution, I'm going to run a mile every day, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to write a book, whatever it might be, and then we don't do it and we feel bad about ourselves. And we try to do it, we realize we're prioritizing the wrong things. It doesn't always work, but my question is not, what is your New Year's resolution? My question is, what does the Lord want you to change this year, right? That's totally different. This is not, well, I want to do X, Y, and Z. This is seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want from me this year? What is your desire for my life? What is your desire for my family? What is your desire for this congregation? And to seek the Lord and to find out things in this regard, what do we need to change? How do we need to grow? What habits do I need to kick? What sins need to be done away with? The people of God need to be a moving forward kind of people, right? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they sit around all day and do nothing. That's not what it says, right? And they follow me. We're going somewhere following the Lord. If you are not going somewhere following the Lord, then you're not following him because he's trying to take you somewhere, right? He's trying to take you somewhere. Look, we have a cyclical experience, okay? The human experience is cyclical, right? Every year we have spring and then summer, and then fall, and winter. It's very predictable, right? And then same thing happens the next year. Same thing happens the next year. Oh, it got cold this winter, just like last winter, and the winter before that, right? It's cyclical, and our religious experience is cyclical, right? We have the Shabbat every week, the Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday night, we have the Sabbath, right? We have the spring holidays. We have Passover. We have First Fruits, Bikurim. We have Shavuot. And then we have the fall holidays that we're in the midst of now. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. And it's the same, right? It's the same every year. Week in, week out, we have these holidays. Every week, we have the Sabbath. Every year, we have the holidays and so forth. And we have to understand how to move forward in a cyclical world, right? As many of you know, I teach school. I teach middle school. And it's the same thing. At least it was getting to be the same thing, right? Kids come in, teach them music, kids go out. Next year, kids come in, teach them music, kids go out, right? And so I decided within that structure, I needed to change some things up, right? Maybe teach them some music games or academic games. Makes it more fun for them, makes it more fun for me. Within that cyclical cycle, we're learning academic games, different songs, trying out different books. And in this variety, in this newness, they get better. I develop as a teacher. There's more joy in it, right? The students as well. Every day they come in. We write, sight read music. We learn chords. We learn a song. We play the same song today we played yesterday. But as we go through that process, they begin to see, wait a second, this month I'm a whole lot better than I was last. In fact, when I came in September, I didn't know how to hold a guitar. And now here I am playing songs, and we start to see the progress and where we're going, right? And before, they didn't know the difference between a guitar and the toy on the GameCube Nintendo thing for rock guitar, whatever it is, right? So, oh wait, this is a little different, right? It's a little different. There's no computer screen in front of me. Yeah, with six of them, six strings. And so, and now here I am, I'm actually playing songs on a guitar, okay? And we have to be careful not to get caught up just in the repetition, right? Do you guys remember the old Dunkin' Donuts commercials, right? So they're advertising how fresh the donuts are. And the Dunkin' Donuts guy, you know, your typical baker-looking type, if there is a typical baker-looking type, he, every morning, wake up, time to make the donuts, right? The next morning, time to... day after day, one day he walks up, and there he sees himself walking out of the store already. I already made the donuts, you know? So you get caught up in what's going on, right? And so what we have to do is we have to stop. We have to ask ourselves, why am I going to synagogue on Saturday? Why am I celebrating the holidays? And when we interact with these things and we grow, we see that spiritual forward motion in following the Lord, right? In today's Torah portion, Moses understands that God is moving Israel forward, right? We're out in the desert. The others are tired of the desert. They're tired of the desert, right? They're tired of the food. So God gives them quail at night, and they gather manna in the morning. They go out in the morning, and they gather manna, right? The next day, they go out in the morning, they gather manna. Next day, they go out, and then one day, they go out, and they see themselves walking in. I already gathered the manna. So you get into these routines of gathering things, and you forget that it's from the Lord, and there's a lesson in it that is going to move us forward. Moses keeps us moving forward towards the promised land, okay? Just like Captain Catherine Janeway, right? What, yes. They're lost where in the Star Trek? They're lost in the Delta Quadrant, right? Do you understand? The Delta Quadrant, people. This is pretty far away. They're lost out in the Delta Quadrant, her and her ship and her crew, and they're trying to get back to the Alpha Quadrant. And we all know that the Delta Quadrant is not close to the Alpha Quadrant. It's quite a trip. How are they going to get back? She keeps them focused. We're getting back to Earth, right? We got into a little battle with the aliens. We discover new species or whatever. Pick up some stragglers along the way. But the goal is we are going somewhere, folks, right? And she keeps them focused, right? So that they don't end up like the Dunkin' Donuts guy. But I'll tell you what, Moses understood something that Captain Janeway didn't understand, and that the Dunkin' Donuts guy didn't even understand. And here's what he understood. Exodus 33:12-15. Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, you tell me, bring up this people, and you haven't let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." He said, God said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Moses said to him, "If your presence doesn't go with me, don't carry us up from here." Moses doesn't want to go anywhere without the presence of the Lord. He does not want to go anywhere without the presence of the Lord. Doesn't want to make the donuts without the presence of the Lord. Doesn't want to get back to the out. No, we're going to stop and we're going to think about where we are. Where does the Lord, not what What do I say my New Year's resolution should be? Not where I need to move forward in my own mind, but Lord, let me hear from you. Where do you want me to change this year? And then, Lord, I will not go forward in that unless your presence goes with me. Where does God want this congregation to grow and to change this year? Let's hear from him. Okay, too many churches and synagogues come up with a whole list of things. Well, we need this committee, and we need that committee, and this program, and that program. And not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. But when you do it without seeking the Lord, you're saying, well, this is how we're going to grow. And you pull out your little planning pie chart or whatever it is, and that's what you do. Ah, stop. Why am I doing this? Why am I going to synagogue every week? Why am I celebrating Rosh Hashanah? Am I this Sukkot? Am I spiritually at the same place I was last Sukkot? If so, that's a shame. That's sad. Interact with the holiday. Interact with the time. Interact with the cycle of your life. Interact with what's going on so that it doesn't just become a wheel that you travel around. Right? Oh, here I am again. Same place that I was last year. And then you travel around. Here I am. No. It becomes the wheel of a car that's taken you somewhere. Right? So that there's forward movement, and it's done with the Lord. It's done with the Lord. And so, what is the problem with our New Year's resolutions? Number one, it's not asking, Lord, where are you moving me? Right? We spend time in the Lord first. Lord, where are you moving me? Okay? Where do you want me to improve? Where do you want my family to improve? Where do you want the synagogue to improve? Lord, we want to hear from you. And then, Lord God, we want to have your presence amongst us so that we can move forward and not backwards. Several weeks ago, in the midst of worship, just felt the Lord saying, take time to allow people to come up and to fall prostrate before the Lord and to rededicate their lives to the Lord. And a lot of you did. You came up, and it was very sincere. We came up, we dedicated our lives to the Lord, rededicated our lives to the Lord. If that experience happens again in the same way, then you miss the understanding of the first experience. That was not an event that just comes and goes, right? That's an event that grows, right? That should be the start of something and not just, okay, that was nice. Let me just go about life as normal. Maybe it'll happen again, right? No, and maybe we need stuff like that to happen again, but there's got to be growth from time. There's got to be growth from Shabbat to Shabbat. There's got to be growth from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot to Sukkot. We can't stay where we are. Yeshua said, follow me.
Amen.
Follow me. Where is he leading you? Where is he leading you? And it can be, the cycle can become rote. Right? The liturgy can become rote. Even the songs can become rote. Oh, same song we did a couple weeks ago. Same prayer we did last week. Here comes another sermon. We watch it come and we watch it go and we think we've done our religious duty. We have not done our religious duty. We have not done our duty before the Lord if we haven't taken this stuff in and allowed it to change us, right? I said during the Rosh Hashanah sermon that we have got to have a prayer life. Too many people are telling me they don't have much of a prayer life. They pray as they're going about this, or that's not good enough. You stop. You take assessment of your life before the throne of God. Did that change your life? Did it change your prayer life? Or did you just watch it? Oh, that's a good point, and then you go on. No, you've got to stop. And you've got to listen to the word of the Lord. And you've got to listen to whatever good thing he says through me and the others in your life. And you've got to stop and you've got to let it change your life because you are going somewhere. You're going somewhere. And it's not to go make the donuts again. It's not to just go gather manna. It's to understand these things come from the Lord and to everything is food for you. Everything is food for you. The songs are food for you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. The sermons, the liturgy, the holidays, the cyclical nature is for you to not just do it again and be the same place you were before, but to let it be the wheels of a car that circle and take you to where the Lord wants you to go. And then I'll tell you what happens. Something awesome. Exodus 34, verse 10. God said, after Moses said, go with us, right? Go with us. He said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been worked in all the land nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I do with you. It is an awesome thing that I do with you. Okay? How do we get there? How do we get there? Okay? I'm going to give you some steps here. Number one, where do we start? We start with repentance. We start with repentance, okay? Exodus 34, verse 9. Before the wonderful promises I just read, Moses said, if now I have found favor in your sight, Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, although this is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. It starts with repentance. We cannot ask for the favor and the presence of the Lord while simultaneously, purposefully living in sin. You can't do that. The Lord doesn't dwell amongst a people like that. He's got to get rid of that sin. He's got to create in our midst a sanctuary where he can dwell. So we have to repent. Lord God, I know I should have been having a dynamic prayer life, and I haven't. I've been unfaithful. Lord, forgive me. Lord God, I know I've got to watch my thought life. I haven't been careful with my thought life. Forgive me. Lord God, I've been chasing happiness in relationships instead of seeking after you and your face. Forgive me, Lord God. We've got to start with repentance. You want to move forward with the Lord, you start with repentance. Number two, after repentance comes a commitment to follow Messiah. He's moving, Lord. I'm going to keep my eyes on where you are moving me to. I'm going to stop. And I'm going to determine that I am moving somewhere. I'm not going to be next Sukkot where I am this Sukkot. I'm not going to be next Shabbat where I am this Shabbat. I'm going to move forward with you. So after we commit to doing that, we have to determine that we're not going to try it without the Lord. That's why so many New Year's resolutions fail. Because we don't make it a spiritual issue. We think, let's say the Lord does call you to work out, okay? The Lord can call you to work out. He wants us to have healthy bodies, right? The Lord calls you to work out. Take care of your body, because I want to do great things through you, but you can't do it if you're, God forbid, dead from a heart attack. Work out. Okay, so the Lord's calling me to work out. The Lord's just hard. It's just, I'm distracted. It's a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual issue. Lord's calling you to give up pornography. It's just too tempting, Lord. I just can't do it. My body is just desiring it. It is a spiritual issue. It's not a physical issue. It is a spiritual issue. You have got to allow the Lord into those areas where you struggle. Because Moses said, I will not move forward unless the Lord goes with me. Because he knows it's unsuccessful unless the Lord goes with you. Okay? A few people can do it. Some people have that tremendous self-control, and I'm going to stop smoking. Bam, they just stop smoking. Most people don't have that. Okay? And even the people that do, they're missing out on a great spiritual benefit in their walk with the Lord. Allow the Lord into those struggles. Lord God, you are calling me to have a prayer life. I don't have desire to have a prayer life right now, Lord God. It seems boring to me. Lord, I'm inviting you into this struggle. Help me. Meet me when I close that door And all I can do today, God, is 5 minutes. That's just all I can do. You close that door, you spend that 5 minutes, you interact with the Lord. And before you know it, it'll be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Or maybe it'll just be 5, and the next day it'll be 6. But you will grow in that if you invite the Lord into it. If it's not just a, Lord, got to do it, got to do it. It's my religious duty. Lord, I cannot move forward in my prayer life without the help of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I cannot move forward in avoiding the temptation without your Spirit rechanging the way I think about things and feel about things. I need you in this struggle. I need you in this struggle. What we have in Messiah is something that helps us with all of those steps, right? We have, we start with repentance and forgiveness. That repentance and forgiveness is so complete in the Lord. It is so complete in the Lord, right? What does Hebrews 9, 13, and 14 say? I always quote these scriptures because they're so important. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer is sprinkled on the unclean, purify for the sanctification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who offered himself without spot to God by the Spirit, serve to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You have that forgiveness in the Lord, even more solidly than Moses had it. You have the forgiveness of the Lord because you have Messiah. You have that first step. It's done. It's done. The forgiveness is complete. You have created a place for the Lord to dwell in your midst by the forgiveness that you have in Messiah. The forgiveness is done. It's done. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit under the new covenant, more so than they had it under the covenant of Moses. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you to have ears open to his voice, to know where he's calling you forward to. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you change those inner thoughts and those inner feelings, to interact so that God does go with you on the journey. In Messiah, all this is awesomely available to you and I. And then what's the last part? The last part's the exciting stuff. Do you remember what God promised Moses? He said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been worked in all the world, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I do with you." If we will do this, if we will not just be sit on our butt believers, but we will be moving forward believers, following the Lord, actively pursuing him. From Shabbat to Shabbat, growing and being new people, allowing the Lord to tell us what we need to change, allowing the Lord to help us to change it, then he's going to work wonders and miracles and things that are going to just be awesome to us and to those around us. How do you love people that nobody else can love? I see the love of the Lord in you. Well, it's because I repented and I allow the Lord into my life and he helps me to love others, right? How can you not be worried when this is going wrong and that's going wrong? Where's your rest? Where's your peace coming from? It's because I'm moving forward with the Lord. I've repented of my sin. I'm listening to his voice. I'm following him. How can you pray for somebody and they receive healing? How can you have so much joy in your life? How can you all get along? I come into the congregation and everyone's getting along. How can this happen and that happen? Because the love of the Lord is alive and active here because we are following him. Yes, we are. We have somewhere he is taking us. And it's not just around the circle. It's not just around the circle. It's not just to gather manna every morning. It's to take that circle, to take that gathering of the manna and to grow in the midst of it. And to grow in the midst of it, and to use that cycle of events. Say, I'm going to get filled up this Shabbat, so this week I'm a better person than last week. I'm going to listen to the words, the liturgy, because they're exciting to me. I'm going to sing the songs because I'm going to interact with the Lord in them. I'm going to listen to the sermons because the Lord speaks through my pastor to change my life. And not just hear, oh, that was a good sermon. It doesn't matter if it's a good sermon or a bad sermon. It doesn't. I'm not up here to give you a good sermon.
Amen.
Okay? I'm up here because the Lord wants to change your life through me. And if you say, great sermon, but it doesn't change your life, it means nothing,
amen.
Right? Let it change your life. Get that prayer life going. Hear from the Lord. Lord, where do you want me to change? Lord, where do you want me to change? I've got to change. You cannot be a non-changing believer. No such thing. A believer is somebody who travels forward because they're following the Messiah. They've got somewhere they're going, and it's towards that. It's towards the Lord. It's towards that intimacy with Him. It's towards being that person that He wants you to be. It's towards putting off the old and putting on the new. Lord God, change our lives. Lord, this season of Sukkot is about You tabernacling with us. You dwelling with us. You dwelled with us in the desert. You dwelt with us back in the day that Messiah walked the earth. You dwell with us now by the presence of Your Ruach HaKodesh, Your Holy Spirit amongst us. And that Spirit is here now. The Spirit of the living God is here now to move You forward and to move me forward. So, Lord God, forgive us. We've been stiff-necked. Forgive us. We've been stubborn. We haven't changed in the areas that You want us to change. But Lord God, we want to put that behind us. Behind us. And we want to move forward in the Lord. We want to follow Messiah. We want to be new creations. Father God, in Messiah, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. And they follow me. Lord, we want to follow You. We want to be the people growing more and more into Your likeness. In Yeshua's name. Amen.